Past probably 7-8 weeks, we've been talking about getting to know God better. And I had this message put together for you, and I thought it was pretty good, actually. I mean, not because I wrote it, but because it's based on the Word of God. That's got to be good, right? But the message was about Jesus being our good shepherd. And so I was kind of excited about the message, but I get up this morning, and I look at it, and then I felt like God speak very clearly, this is not today's message. And so I started over. Sometimes you just throw away what you have and start over. And so God gave me this message, and I know that it's the right message for the right day, so soak it in today, okay? The Holy Spirit's going to speak through this. I know it's the right thing for you. So if you want to turn your Bibles today to Colossians chapter 3, I want to start reading to you out of there today. And this is what we have today, and this is all we need today. Do you know that? The Word of God. You can amen that even a little louder if you'd like to. All right, cool. All right. So this passage here is talking about what it means to live a Christian life and what it means to get rid of the old stuff and hang on to the new stuff and taking our new identity in Christ. And so in here, he's talking about this whole resurrection life with Christ. You know, the cool thing is when Christ died on the cross and was resurrected, that he actually beat the powers of sin and death. And so sin no longer has control over us. So when we talk about living a resurrected life, we're actually talking about a life that's no longer controlled by sin. Anybody excited about that? Because that's a huge truth, right? So here's what it says, Colossians chapter 3, and we're just going to kind of read through it. I'm going to talk about it a little bit as God prompts my spirit. So, and I'm reading out of the message today too, so if it doesn't follow along with your Bible, just kind of follow with me and enjoy. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. That's a good way to start, isn't it? If you're serious about doing this resurrection thing, then actually act like you are. And I can tell you there are a lot of Christians, we have a hard time living a resurrected life because sin still has a handle on us at times, doesn't it? I mean, we're still kind of working through things. Anybody have anything left over from your past that you're still working through? Okay, that should be everyone, okay, right? So we're all kind of there at times. All right, it says, pursue the things over which Christ presides. What does Christ preside over? Over life itself, right? Over love and grace and mercy and all the things he gives us the capability of actually pouring out. And so those are the things that really capture our life and capture our heart. It says, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Let me ask you something. Have you ever gone along life shuffling your feet and eyes to the ground, absorbed in the things of this world? Anybody? Man, we do that, don't we? That's like the whole issue for us, isn't it? Because I can tell you, life has issues. Does anybody know life has issues? Okay, so as life has issues, sometimes we get so caught up in them, get so tore up by the issues of life, that our life becomes like we're wearing blinders, and we're staring at the ground, and we're kind of working our way through it. And so the message God's saying is, hey, lift your eyes up a little bit. There's a bigger perspective here. There's something happening, right? But it's happening on the horizon of life. You see, life doesn't happen right here at our feet with every step we take. Life happens up as we're looking out to Christ and saying, Lord, where do you want me to go next? What do you want me to do? Show me the next place you want me to be. And so that's where it happens. It says here that we need to see things from his perspective. I can tell you when Jesus came on the scene, his perspective was brand new. People never heard the things he was saying. I mean, when he came into a group of people who were hung up in the laws and keeping all the rules, and that's how you please God. And so Jesus comes and he starts to explain to them about grace and mercy and love and things they'd never really thought of before like that. And so his perspective was totally different. So that's the biblical side. But I wonder sometimes, what is Jesus' perspective on our life? Like the things we deal with every day, right? Like the places we live and the things that we do. What's his perspective on those things? Because I can tell you, there are people here who have frustrations in life and in their jobs and in their families. And I wonder how Jesus would handle some of those issues that we experience. Like in the commissioner of the revenue office, right? Once in a while, you get a guy that comes in there and doesn't like the bill that he's got, right? He has a problem with his taxes. He's like, I don't know. I wonder what Jesus would think when he comes into that situation. I wonder how he would deal with someone who was angry. What about somebody who has to wait too long in the line at Walmart and is really upset about that? And by the way, the lines at Walmart aren't that long, really. You know, you need to go somewhere else and see how long the lines really get. But, you know, somebody gets really upset about that. I wonder how Jesus would handle somebody like that. I can tell you, he would handle them with love and with grace, and that's all that he would have for them. Do you understand how important it is to understand what Jesus' perspective is in life? Because a lot of things we get really upset about and all bent out of shape over are things that Jesus really wouldn't have an issue with, right? He would just work right through them because he understands that people just need grace where they're at. You ever need a grace in your life before? Like, that's kind of like where we live all the time. We need love and we need grace. So we need to understand what Jesus' perspective is. It goes on to say, your old life is dead. That's about as straight as you can get, right? The old place you came from, it's dead. There's like no point in going back there. It was dead when you were living it, and it's dead today, right? He goes on to say, your new life, which is your real life, by the way, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Has anyone ever thought that before? Like, the old life you lived was dead. Like, there wasn't anything in it. Before you knew Christ, all you had was death, and that's where you were headed. But when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you begin to experience real life. And real life is actually something that has hope and love and grace and mercy and all these wonderful things that we need. That's where real life is lived, and it's lived through Jesus. So it says, he is your real life. When Christ, invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God, he is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you will show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. You know, I don't know about you, but like, I want this to be the real me. Like, I don't want to wait till Jesus comes back for me to find out who the real me is, you know? I know that when Jesus comes back, everything is going to be laid open. People are going to see who we really are. But I can tell you, I want to know the real me now. I want the real me to be a picture of Christ as I see it in the Word. You know, that when we see his life and we see the love that he has for people and the, you know, all the grace that he pours out for us and for others, like, that's a picture of what I want to see in my own life. And I don't know where you're at with that, but, you know, I want the real me to show. But I can tell you, and I'm sorry that I have to tell you this, but the real me that you're going to see right now as we're on this earth before Jesus comes back, it's going to be a me that's filled with mistakes and issues and the love of Christ all at one time. So we're going to have all that stuff kind of running. So you have to accept the fact that I'm imperfect, and I'll accept the fact that you're imperfect as well. I mean, I'm not like, you know, calling you out or anything, right? But we're all imperfect, right? And so I'll accept that too. But that's the real us, right? But I want the real me and I want the real you to continue to be more like Christ every day so that no matter what situation you find yourself in, whether you're having a tough customer, you're having a tough day, whatever the case is, the only thing that seems to come out when you get squeezed in life is Jesus, you know? Like, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? So that's the real us. And here's the thing, too. And this is part of the original message that, like, the real us, like, Jesus Christ was meant to be our shepherd, and he was meant to keep us in the pen with him, you know? And so the whole idea is the life he actually had for us and the plans that he had for us were great. But sometimes stuff in life happens. Does anybody know that? And we get led astray, and we get led off into this place, and sometimes for years. But we have to remember something, that even in the midst of all of our mistakes and all the bad turns in life and everything that's ever happened, there's always the real you, and it's always in there, right? There is a real you, and everybody has a real you inside of you that Christ made you to be. Now, sometimes those things get obscured by life and mistakes and stuff we make, but I can tell you something. Within you is a very clear purpose that God has for your life. Christ is at work inside of you, but you have to say at some point, I want to find out who the real me really is. And when you find that, you'll find Christ in you because you are defined by Christ. He goes on to say this, and that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. And I like the way he says this. It's not the old way of life. It's actually a way of death. Do you know that? I mean, let's just get down to the bare bones of it, right? It's not really an old life because you were never living before. It's a way of death that you were living prior to Jesus. And it says this. These are the things that we're to kill off and get rid of and everything connected with it. It's sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like doing it. Anybody ever had a problem with that? Yeah, that's gotten me in some trouble over the years. And grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. Let me tell you this. He's being very kind by using the word shaped, okay? Because I can tell you that my feelings and my issues in life shaped me, but they didn't just shape me, they deformed me. They made me into something God never intended me to be. And I can tell you the person that I became over time in my life wasn't the person I am today and isn't the person I ever wanted to be, you know? a person who was easily offended, a person who had problems with people, and when people offended me or caused problems for me, I cut them out of my life. I didn't need them anymore. And maybe you don't know me to be this way anymore, and thank God I'm not. But he did a healing in my heart because that's who I used to be. I was very passive and let people walk on me. And the more they walked on me, the more I resented them and the more I cut them out of my life, to the point where I remember making this statement, I don't need people anymore. So then God calls me to be a pastor and puts me in a group of people. How about that, you know? Yeah, God works some things out in me, you know? Not that I've arrived, but I'm getting there. But I can tell you, I was shaped by my feelings. I was shaped by my situations in life. But I was deformed by them, and I just got to be honest about that. Shaping almost sounds good, like somehow I was like shaped by it. But here's the thing. Christ wants to shape your life, but he wants to shape it the way he intended it to be. And it's for his glory. It's not about us. So he goes on to say, it's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger, allowing ourselves to be shaped or deformed by the world, right? It wasn't long ago that you were doing all this stuff and not knowing any better, but now you know better. So make sure it's all good. It's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, and dirty talk, and that covers like the rest of it, right? If any of you are mean out there, stop being mean, right? Isn't that what the word says, right? It says don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. Anybody done with the old life? Man, I don't know. I look back over this stuff, and I see little bits of my old life still come back every once in a while. I say things, or I might think something, and I'm thinking, I don't know where that came from. But I can tell you, I really want to be done with all that. Does anybody want to be done with your old life? Man, I mean, I don't know. There's still stuff hangs on with people because we're human. But like, I don't want any part of that anymore. It says it's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes that you've stripped off and put in the fire. You know, the other day I was working in the garden, and I wore my jeans out there, and it had been muddy, and it was raining and everything else. And I got this mud. It was like a mud slick from like here all the way down to my ankles. And I wore them inside, and I thought, you know what? I got to get back out there later. I'm just going to fold these up, and I'll wear them again. But then when it came time to actually put them back on again, I hold them up, and they almost stood up on their own. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, you know what? I don't want any part of that. I'm not putting that back on again. You know what I mean? Isn't that the way we should treat our lives? Like when we look at our old life, and it's like those old filthy clothes that we should have thrown in the fire, we hold them back up again thinking we're going to try them on one more time, and we're like, I'm not putting those on for anything. You know, shouldn't that be our attitude about our old life? It's like, I'm not putting that on. I'm not going to wear that again. That's not who I am. Anybody ever make that statement about your old life? I'm not that guy anymore. I'm not that woman anymore, right? It's like, I'm not going there. And so it's like those clothes that we should get rid of and strip off and throw in the fire. It says that now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Anybody excited about that? Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. You're wearing like Jesus gear. You know what I mean? Like everything has his name on it. Isn't that cool? No matter what people look at your life, and it's not just a surface thing, but like this wardrobe that you're wearing, it's going to talk more about it here in a second, but it's like the wardrobe you wear brings out Jesus in you, you know? And that's what people see when they see you. I remember when I first came here to be a pastor, I didn't know much about pastoring, you know? I'd been at it a couple months. I was just sitting and listening. I had nothing to really say. But I went to a pastor's meeting one time, and one of the pastors told me, he told everybody, not just me, he said, you know, pastors should wear those little white things that fit right here. I don't even know what you call those things. That's how messed up I am. I don't even know. But it's that little plastic thing that snaps into your shirt that makes you look like a priest. You know what I'm talking about? He said, everybody needs to wear one of those things. He said, because pastors who won't wear that are ashamed of God. I'm like, and here I sit. I'm sitting here like in a Carhartt shirt. I don't think you can even snap one in. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, we're having the conversation. My chin's going down a little further so you can't see. And I processed that for a while. I thought maybe I didn't get the memo. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what pastors do. I don't know. But as I began to think about it later, I thought, you know, I don't want my influence as a pastor to come down to some little piece of plastic that's stuck in my collar. You know, like the wardrobe that I want to wear is a wardrobe that goes so deep that people see Christ in my eyes and they see Christ in my heart and every word that I use. And I don't want them just to see that little piece right there and go, oh, that guy must be a pastor. You know? I'm not so worried about looking like a pastor, but I want to look like an ambassador of Christ. But you can only be an ambassador if they actually feel the goodwill, you know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point. And so, it says that we wear the clothes from the Creator and we have his label on it, and all of the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish or non-Jewish, religious or irreligious, insider or outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter what creek you live on, okay? Let's just get down to brass tacks here, right? It doesn't matter. It's like we are defined by Christ now. Isn't that a cool thing? It doesn't matter where you've been, what mistakes you've made. You are here right now, and you are defined by Christ. And the reason you're defined by Christ is you've taken on the very attributes of Christ. You've decided to love. You've decided to have grace. But here's the question for you. Are you still putting on the old garments? Are you still hanging on to the old stuff? Are you still being defined a little bit by your old self? Because I can tell you, the old self was all about death. And today you're all about life, and life and death don't exist in the same life, right? You know what I mean? It's like you can't say, on one hand, I'm Christian, and I have this life functioning in the way I do life, and then at the same time, I'm also dead here. Yet it happens all the time, doesn't it? There are things in my life, where I absolutely say, Lord, I don't want that to be a part of my life anymore. But you know, there are times I keep doing those things, and I think, Lord, you know what? I want to be 100% living in you. I want to have life, and I want you to breathe life into me, like the song we sang. It's about God breathing life into you. But it's really hard for God to breathe life into you when you are not willing to let go of the things that have caused death within you at the same time. Here's what he says. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you. And let me tell you about the wardrobe. It says here, the wardrobe is compassion and kindness and humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered and content. I mean, these are all wonderful things. Can you imagine if this is what we actually wear every day? Can you imagine a life of compassion and a life of kindness? And a life of all these wonderful things, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. If you live a life like that, you don't need to wear the collar. Do you know that? Because people just feel it. They see it in you. They know it's you. It's the real deal. They're getting to see the real you, the you that Christ actually made you to be, not the one that got distorted by the world. Because I can tell you, everyone here has been distorted on some level. Do you know that? We've all been there. We've all been distorted and disfigured by the world. But I can tell you that spiritually, when Christ is in charge, we get to a place where we decide, Lord, I don't want any part of that old life anymore. I want you to fill me with this and clothe me with compassion and with humility and all these things. And it goes on to say this. It goes on to say that we need to be even tempered and content with second place. Is there anybody who's competitive here today? Anybody? Anybody has a competitive spirit? Go ahead and admit it. We all know who you are anyway, right? Okay, so. All right, so that's for you, okay? Be content with second place because it's going to be okay, all right? And here it says, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and as completely as the master forgave you. Here's a big one for you, right? Forgive quickly, like in the moment. I remember talking to somebody sometime, and they were talking about how like one of their relatives or somebody did something really, really bad, and they weren't ready to forgive and so forth. And I said, well, you know, you're probably going to need to consider forgiveness at some point, you know. And they said, well, I'm not really ready, but maybe in a few days I'll be ready to do that, you know. There's something about that that really lacks the heart of this right here, you know, that we forgive immediately. We forgive quickly, and we forgive completely. Does that sound like a plan for us? Okay, do you do it? Okay, now it's all quiet. Like nobody wants to talk. Yeah, that's a good plan. Let's do that. Well, how many do that? Well, I don't know about that. We'll talk about it later. Anyway. All right, where were we? I was having too much fun with that. Okay, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Man, I'll tell you what, that's a great overcoat to wear. Like when you fail sometimes, if you have love for people, honestly, love goes a long ways. It covers a lot of things. You know that? And that's scriptural too, by the way. Love covers up a lot of mistakes, you know. So imagine for a moment that we as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have this whole thing about we got rid of all the old stuff. We're not wearing that junk anymore. We got rid of the dirty pants. We're not wearing that, right? And now we're putting on the compassion and the humility and the discipline and all those wonderful things. And then after we're done putting all that on, which we look great wearing all that, right? Then we put on an overcoat of love just to top it off. It's like icing the cake, you know what I mean? And now imagine that that's a picture of your life. Man, that's awesome, because I'll tell you, it leads into the next part of the scripture. It says, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. I can tell you, when you're wearing all that get up right there and you're dealing with life, and life can be frustrating, but when you're dealing with life wearing all that stuff and having love to cover it all, I can tell you the peace of Christ just absolutely pours over to you. Do you know that? Man, I'll tell you, that kind of life is the life that I want. Isn't it yours? It's a picture of living as Christ. You know, we talk about it. We tell people, oh, you need to be more like Jesus. What would Jesus do? And I can tell you, those are all good things to think about. But in the end, what does Jesus really look like? You know, like, how does he really function in your life? And have you really become like him? You know, this needs to be our goal. You know, we look at this and we think, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to live like that, to wear that wardrobe, to cover it all up in love, and to be just loving to everybody, and no matter how much they chew on us, we're just loving for them, and it's like we got nothing else for them but love. And we look at this and we think, what an incredible standard. And I can tell you, that's what the Bible's all about. It's an absolute standard. Do you know that? The Bible is a perfect standard. Because the thing is, why should we shoot low? We serve a God who's capable of doing all this, don't we? So, like, why would I shoot low? Why would I accept a standard here? I know that as a human, I'm never going to meet the standard completely. But I can tell you, I'm going to set the standard where it belongs, and that's the very apex of my life, and this is like the best possible perfect standard for me. And I'm going to strive to attain it with everything in me, and there's going to be a time where either Jesus comes back or I go to be with him. And I'm going to get a chance to find out who the real me is, and I can tell you, Christ is perfecting me very slowly, but he's on it every day, you know? He goes on to say, let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Now, it just gets better, right? So now I'm wearing the clothes, and I've got the overcoat of love on, and I've got the peace of Christ in me, and now I'm just like letting the word of God run rampant in my heart. That's like a recipe for like total success. Do you know that spiritually? And is this like depressing anyone or discouraging anyone today to think, wow, there's a lot to do here? I can tell you this. As you begin to let go of the things that have controlled your life for so long, and as you accept, for some of you, as you accept Christ today, if you choose to do that, things will begin to change in your heart, and things will begin to change in your life, and you'll get to a place where God will begin to put on the garment on you, and you'll begin to take on his very likeness, because you've let go of things to make room for him. And isn't that the whole point of the Christian life, is that we're always making room for Christ? Isn't that it? Like, I want to continue to make room in my heart for him, because everything in my life that doesn't belong or that is not of him, I want it gone so there's more room for him. So, like, that's my goal, that's my place, and that's my responsibility, too. You know, some people have this theology that we somehow wave a magic wand and Christ just takes everything away from us. But he's not going to go against your will, and there are some of us who are still hanging on to things because we're not done with them. But I can tell you, the things you're hanging on to that are not of Christ, is you're hanging on to death, tooth and nail. And at some point, you need to say, death is not for me. I choose to live. You know, we talk in the song about how, you know, breathe life, you know? God wants to breathe life into each and every person here. There's some of you who have never accepted Christ. And God wants to breathe life into every aspect of your life. He wants you to receive him, to feel him, and to experience him completely. But it can't happen as long as you say, I want the old life. The passage goes on to say, and we'll finish it here, give it plenty of room in your life, speaking of the Word of God. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. That's always a good idea. Good common sense is always a good idea. And sing with your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, your words and your actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Everything that you say as a Christ follower, every word that you say holds weight. Do you know that? So in whatever you do and whatever you say, we think about Christ in that. And we think about the image that we give of Christ around us. I can tell you, I have no idea where my life would be without him today. And I think a lot of you, if you think about that, you could probably imagine a pretty dark, dreary place without him. But I can tell you, many, many years ago, he breathed life into me, and he continues to breathe life into me every day. In every failure and every mistake, I get back on my knees and say, God, I need you. You know, with every action, with every word, whatever I do in my life, I want to glorify God. I want to raise the name of Jesus. And I know that's your heart's desire too. But I can tell you, that's a purposeful thing that we do. Because if we just decide to live life and we put our heads down and we just continue to walk and look down at the ground and take one step after another, we're never going to raise our eyes to the horizon and say, how can I glorify God with my life? How can I draw people to truth, and how can I breathe life into them through the Word of God? It's not going to happen. We have got to be purposeful in the way we live. But you know, life happens to a lot of us, doesn't it? You know, we get busy making money. We get busy having families. We just get busy doing life. And before you know it, we realize we've gotten a long ways down the road and we're still just looking down at our feet and just kind of taking one step after another. Here's the message for you today, and it's a word over your life today. God says, I want you to lift your eyes to the horizon, and I want you to begin to see that I have a much bigger picture for you than where you've been living. I have a much bigger picture than the life you had, the money you made and the family you made and everything you have. I have much more for you than that. But you've got to trust me. And you've got to let go of your own self-reliance, and you've got to let go of everything that you've got that's gotten where you were to you are today, and you realize that the life that you were on is a life of death. But the life that God has for you is a life that will really begin to open up the real you, and you'll get to know who you really are and who Christ intended you to be. Is that a word for anyone here today? Can we bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment? There may be some here today who say, you know, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But I'm in a place where I want to know what He has for my life. I've never met the real me, but I want to know who that person is. I want to see what God can do in my life, and I want to let go of this old way of living that was actually a way of dying. And I want to accept Jesus, and I want to see what He can do with my life. If there's anyone here today who says, I'm ready to make that decision, if you would just lift your hand, I want to pray for you where you sit today. Is there anyone here today? Thank you. Anyone else here today? Praise God. If this is your heart's desire and this is where you're at today and you want to give your life to Christ, I want to lead you in this prayer today, just between you and God. Father God, I come before you. I accept your Son Jesus into my heart. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life. But today I open my life to you. And I ask that you change me from the inside out. Father, I lay down all these things that used to be my old life. And I look forward to going into the new life you have for me. Thank you for your Son, and thank you for a new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? There may be some of you here today who, when you look back over your life, you think, you know, there have been a lot of times in my life where I didn't have Jesus' perspective. There are a lot of things that when I look back over my life, I realize I need to let go of. And for some of you, the Holy Spirit's spoken those things very directly to you today. That there are certain things in your life that you need to let go of and you need to lay them down today. What I'd like to do today is, if there's anyone here today who says that there is a part of my life or one thing I need to lay down today, or even multiple things you need to lay down, and you say, I want to become more like Christ and I want to have a relationship with Him and I want to clothe myself with the things of you. If that's where you're at today, and it doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord, it doesn't matter where you've been, there are things in our lives that we need to lay down. And if that's where you're at today and you say, I'm ready to lay them down, if you would just come forward to the altar, I want to anoint you with oil today and just dedicate your life to Christ and say, this is the thing we're laying at the feet of Jesus today. The altar is open. And if you would, just kind of line up here in the front, and I just want to anoint you today and just speak life over you today. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's anything you need to lay down today, please come on up. Praise you, Jesus. Just going to anoint you here, Robert, okay? Father, I thank you for Robert. I pray right now that as he lays this down, Lord, you breathe life into him in Jesus' name. Today we dedicate this to you and breathe life into her in the name of Jesus. Breathe life into Patty in the name of Jesus. Dedicate this to you today, Father. You know the issue, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for this decision today, Father. We dedicate this to you and ask that you move in the name of Jesus. Father, he just leaves us at the cross today, Father. meet him where he's at, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I speak life over Tony today in the name of Jesus, Father. Take this away and pour into him today through your Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just dedicate these issues to you today. Father, I ask that you move in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for what she's laying down today. Father, meet her here. Breathe into her today, Father. Father, take away any hindrances or anything that would keep her from taking you in completely, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for my God. Lord, I pray that as he leaves these things with you today, Lord, that you breathe life into these areas in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for each and every person who's come up here this morning. Father, I pray that as we lay these things down before you, we actually make room for your Holy Spirit to work even greater things in us. Lord, I pray your blessing over each and every person who has laid these things down before you today. Father, I pray that you touch them deeply in their hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that you do a new work in them. Lord, I pray that you help them to take off those old things that were part of the old life. Lord, to make room for the new garments you're putting on them, Lord. And I pray that more than anything, Father, you cover all of that with love. So that when people see them, Lord, they see your love and they see the very essence of who you are. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you continue to develop us and you continue to remove these things from our life, Lord, that need to be gone so that you can do a work in us and complete what you started in us. Lord, I thank you for the decisions that are made today. I thank you for the things that were laid down before you. Lord, I pray your hand upon each and every life that's in this place today, Father, for the things that you're accomplishing in them today. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you pour out everything that they need, Lord. You know exactly where they are. Lord, you know what they need. Lord, I pray that you continue this work in their heart, Lord, as they continue to walk out life with you. And that's a life of laying things down and picking up what you have. So Lord, I thank you and just praise you for what you're working in their hearts today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What I'd like to do at this time is if we could have the prayer team come forward. And if any of you would like prayer this morning, please stay. And for those of you today who would like prayer, we want to invite you to come on up. So what I'd like to do is close the service out in prayer. And we'll continue with our prayer time here at the altar. Father, I just thank you for everyone you brought here today. I thank you for the message that you've given. Lord, I pray that you continue to speak through your word, Lord, as we contemplate what you've given us today. Lord, that you continue to speak through your Holy Spirit to make us the people you've called us to be, Lord. We want to know who we are really in you, Lord. We want to see you in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to work that out daily in us, Lord. We love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in our church and in our lives. And, Lord, I pray that you go with us today in your strength and in your power and in your grace, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open for prayer. If anyone would like prayer this morning, please stay behind and we'd like to pray with you.